Welcome to the Edutainer Podcast. My name is Erin Albert. In this podcast, we explore the intersection between education and entertainment. Stay tuned for another episode coming up next. Hey everybody, Erin Albert, Monday, June 14th, 2021. Hope you all had a smashing weekend. I want to talk about something totally unrelated to career development and or healthcare today. I want to talk about how our workplace last week had what we called Wander Lunch. And it was a Learn at Lunch online. We did it via video webinar. And we had four of our teammates talk about where we've traveled in the past. And I don't know about you, but every year I make it a goal of my own to get out of the country at least once. And so I'm really having a hankering for that right now because 2020, nobody got to travel pretty much anywhere. So today I thought I'd talk about what I talked about at Wander Lunch because I was one of the four speakers. And so what I did was I went back to my three most recent international trips, 2019, 2018, 2017, and shared where I went and kind of the details of it. So I'm going to share that with you all today. It was only like a 10-15 minute talk. I ran through mine pretty quickly, but it was really fun to see the pictures from everyone. Some of the other speakers talked a lot about Europe. One of them talked about Colorado, and there were like so many places in Colorado that I've yet to see. I've pretty much fly in and out of Denver a lot, but I've never been outside of Denver in Colorado. So very cool things there I need to check out. One of the other speakers talked about the Camino de Santiago, which is a holy walk in Spain and really interesting. It's like a pilgrimage there. And his experience, he went, I think, for almost 40 days. So that was really cool to hear about as well. Very brave because I don't think I could walk that long that far. But I really enjoyed talking about the travel stuff. So that aside, I'm going to share with you today the three places that I've most recently been outside of the U.S. And I'll be sure to put my slides up on Google Slides so you can take a look at them. And the link will be in show notes today, too, if you're curious. And you can clearly hear that I miss travel. So hopefully we can all get back to it soon. As a matter of fact, I flaked out on season 5 beginning of my podcast because I was traveling in the U.S. recently for the past couple of weeks. I got on a couple of different plane rides to see some friends that I had not been seeing since the pandemic. Sorry, travel had to trump, but I'm back. And so here we go. In 2019, and I am so thankful I did this, especially then, was I took my first ever river cruise in Europe. If you've not been on a river cruise, it's really not like the big boats that you may think of that go out into the ocean and, you know, go around the Caribbean, for example. When you do a European river cruise, the boats are significantly smaller. The boat I was on was about 150 people, and it was fantastic. It's probably my favorite way to travel. And the reason why I love it so much is you don't have to unpack and repack, right? Because if you have a longer trip and you're trying to get around to see the sights in a different country or a different place, you constantly have to unpack and then repack and then throw your stuff in either in the rental car or on the train or on the bus and move around. And that's really, I think, annoying, right? Like, I want to unpack once and have everything come to me. And that's the beautiful thing about a river cruise, is it literally comes to you. Now, there are three or four, I think, major river cruise lines that kind of cater to the American population. I went on AMA Waterways, AMA Waterways. Of course, Viking, they do a ton of advertising on Masterpiece. And Uniworld is the other one that's supposed to be fantastic. I've never been on Uniworld, but I've heard really good things about it. So those three really specialize a lot in European river cruises. And so my river cruise went, it started at Amsterdam, and then it ended at Basel, Switzerland, about a week later. So it was, I think, a 7-night cruise. The Rhine if you're not aware, has a UNESCO heritage site of several castles along the way that sit on tops of hills. And so when we left Amsterdam, it was about a day and a half, 2 days into the cruise, that you definitely want to get a spot on top of the ship to watch all the castles go by. And that was around Tuesday morning, and I think we left on a Sunday. Best way to see the castles along the Rhine, from what I've heard, and definitely I can back that up now that I've been on the river cruise, it was amazing to just float by. Because, you know, if you've ever toured a castle that's on top of a hill, you usually have to rent a car and go up a very steep, windy road. And sometimes they're very narrow too, which I'm not good as a car rider. Like I have to be a driver, I think, so I don't get car sick. But anyway, this is a great way to see those castles. You can see them right from the river, right from the boat. You just get on the top of the boat, you sit down, you pick your spot, and you watch the world float by. Highly, highly recommend that, particularly for the Rhine. We also stopped along the way with different day excursions in Germany and France, in Switzerland. So a lot of fun. I highly recommend riverboat travel. Now, I know COVID right now, right? But I've heard that the river cruises are really starting to book up now for end of 2021 and into 2022. If you like easy peasy travel and you want to cram in as much as you possibly can into a shorter vacation, think about a river cruise because they're a lot of fun and they're super easy. The food was great on the boat too. Just a great way to travel. All right, so that was my 2019 travel adventure outside of the country. In 2018, I went to a place that honestly, I really didn't even know that much about before I got there. And I'm really glad I went when I did as well. That was the Azores. And the Azores are an archipelago off the coast of Portugal. Why we went, my travel buddy and I, she travels independently all over the world herself, but she also learned that her favorite airline had a direct flight that was brand new from New York to Ponta Delgada, which is the primary city on the main island of the Azores. So we went in 2018. So much fun and so beautiful. It's almost like the Hawaii of Europe in a lot of ways. If you're not familiar, the Azores have volcanic soil, meaning that if you go to the Azores and you rent a car and drive around, the main island was the only one that I got to, you'll notice that hydrangeas there grow wild and they're blue. And they're blue because of the volcanic kind of ashy soil. Of course, it's surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean as well. And another great thing about it, this is actually, at least with the direct flight that used to be available, I don't think it is anymore, you could get there in 6 hours from the East Coast. Whereas if you want to go to Hawaii, you have a much longer flight if you're on the East Coast to the West Coast, right? So it was only a 6 hour flight from New York City to Ponta Delgada, which was amazing as well because you get the European flavor, but you don't have the 8 hour flight. It's only 6 hours. So really, really cool to do that. One thing that we noted when we got on the island is it's very Portuguese in the sense that they are very into tile making. They have the most beautiful tiles I think I've ever seen. And they're really into tile work, even in things, simple things like the street sidewalks, where every street had its own tile work pattern along the sidewalks, which was absolutely incredible. And the architecture there is just beautiful. We went around Furnace Lake, which is a beautiful lake on the main island. It's a 5 mile pretty easy walk that you can just go around this lake, and it was incredible views, wide open prairies and tall trees. So you get the whole kind of scenery for 5 miles around this lake. Beautiful scenery everywhere if you drive along the coast. Just incredible views, beautiful weather. We went over the July 4th holiday in 2018. and really affordable too. For most of Europe, it's pretty expensive, but Portugal we found very reasonable and the people were very, very friendly. So I know now, or it's my understanding now, that there is no direct flight. So you might have to go into Spain or Portugal and then fly back to the Azores. But I think it's worth the trip. It was gorgeous, very wild too. So if you like hiking and things like that, it would be a great trip for you. So there you go. 2018, the Azores, Portugal, amazing. And so my last stop on my Wander Lunch series was my 2017 trip where I went to Scotland. And Scotland was amazing as well. Now, prior to that, I'd been to Ireland and I kept thinking, well, you know, they're close to each other. They'll probably just look the same. And I was so, so wrong about that. Scotland and Ireland look vastly different, especially if you get into the Highlands of Scotland. It's not green per se. It's very almost brown, just very different in my mind, I guess, than I had pictured. One of my favorite spots in Scotland, believe it or not, was called the Kelpies. And what I really loved about it, it's a newer kind of tourist attraction. It's mainly for more of the locals, I think, than anything. It's in a park called the Helix. And it's a really cool park that they put together kind of in the middle of nowhere. But they have like cycling and walking and water sports. There's even a canal that comes in so you can park your boat there. And the Kelpies are two 30-meter high horse head sculptures made out of metal. And they're really incredible. If nothing else, you have to go to see the Kelpies themselves in the Helix Park. The park itself is kind of on off the motorway as well, so it's pretty easy to get to if you rent a car. And the Kelpies, these two horse heads, were put together by an artist from Scotland, and he does incredible work. They also have the little plaza cafe, and sometimes they have outdoor music, and it's really a cool community center. They have festivals and things like that in the summertime. It was absolutely incredible. So the Helix, the Kelpies, gotta see that if you go to Scotland. And then, of course, you know, you think of the traditional Scotland, like Edinburgh, definitely spent some time there. The main tourist section there that everybody is like the must-see is called the Royal Mile. And you go between literally a mile. On one end of the Royal Mile is Edinburgh Castle, and that's the classic one that you see on top of the hill if you look at any Edinburgh pictures. What's really cool is the castle at the end on the other side of the Royal Mile. That palace is called the Palace of Holyrood House, and that's where the Queen or the Queen's family stays when they come to Scotland. One of my favorite things about that particular courthouse and doors in particular, the doorway there, it actually has unicorns on it if you ever get to see it. So I took a picture of the unicorn door and shared that with my colleagues at work. So even simple things like that, I think a lot of us here in the States may take for granted because architecture here isn't quite as ornate as all that. But anyway, it was just a really great trip. Of course, we saw the Sir Walter Scott Monument. That's a classic in Edinburgh as well. We went to Loch Ness to look for Nessie. We didn't find Nessie, but we did get a rainbow at Loch Ness. So that was cool too. But I was in Scotland, I think for about a week. As I mentioned with the Azores, I was there for a good chunk of a weekend. I wasn't there that long. And then the Rhine River cruise was 7 overnights, I think, total. But on cruises, you could go as much as 30 days plus if you wanted to. You just have to look at the routes on those cruise lines that I had mentioned to you. But all in all, this was fun to go through this one more time with you all, because you can clearly tell I am missing particularly international travel. But I wanted to share it one more time because, you know, when you share your stories, it's almost like you're back there, right? And I think that's one of the best things about travel, as you can share your stories. And I just, in hearing my colleagues too talk about their trips, I just want to get on a plane and get moving, or a boat or a train, something. There's definitely places that I still want to get to, particularly in Europe. And I've been to Europe several times now, but there's still so much more to do. So wanted to give you a little food for thought today. Hopefully you're starting to think about your own travel plans. After being on the planes the last couple of weeks, I would say, you know, the airlines really aren't doing any kind of social distancing anymore, but you definitely do still need to mask up. Wearing a mask on a plane is a little annoying, yes, but we all have to keep each other safe. So I totally understand why we have to do that. But anyway, get out there, get traveling, especially if you've been immunized, you know, stay safe. I think summer travel is really going to start heating up here soon. And hopefully we can get other countries open back up and we can also start safely traveling internationally. Thank you for going on my trips with me one more time. And again, I'll be sure to post the slide pictures in show notes here for you if you want to take a look at some of my travel adventures. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Take care. Particular, the doorway there, it actually has unicorns on it if you ever get to see it. So I took a picture of the unicorn door and shared that with my colleagues at work. So even simple things like that, I think a lot of us here in the States may take for granted because architecture here isn't quite as ornate as all that. But anyway, it was just a really great trip. Of course, we saw the Sir Walter Scott Monument. That's a classic in Edinburgh as well. We went to Loch Ness to look for Nessie. We didn't find Nessie, but we did get a rainbow at Loch Ness. So that was cool too. But I was in Scotland, I think for about a week. As I mentioned with the Azores, I was there for a good chunk of a weekend. I wasn't there that long. And then the Rhine River cruise was 7 overnights, I think, total. But on cruises, you could go as much as 30 days plus if you wanted to. You just have to look at the routes on those cruise lines that I had mentioned to you. But all in all, this was fun to go through this one more time with you all, because you can clearly tell I am missing particularly international travel. But I wanted to share it one more time because, you know, when you share your stories, it's almost like you're back there, right? And I think that's one of the best things about travel, is you can share your stories. And I just, in hearing my colleagues too talk about their trips, I just want to get on a plane and get moving, or a boat, or a train, something. There's definitely places that I still want to get to, particularly in Europe. And I've been to Europe several times now, but there's still so much more to do. So wanted to give you a little food for thought today. Hopefully you're starting to think about your own travel plans. After being on the planes the last couple of weeks, I would say, you know, the airlines really aren't doing any kind of social distancing anymore, but you definitely do still need to mask up. Wearing a mask on a plane is a little annoying, yes, but we all have to keep each other safe. So I totally understand why we have to do that. But anyway, get out there, get traveling, especially if you've been immunized, you know, stay safe. I think summer travel is really going to start heating up here soon. And hopefully we can get other countries open back up and we can also start safely traveling internationally. Thank you for going on my trips with me one more time. And again, I'll be sure to post the slide pictures in show notes here for you if you want to take a look at some of my travel adventures. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Take care. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Edutainer. If you're a super fan, head on over to our Patreon page for The Edutainer and you get extra goodies just for being a super fan. Our Patreon page is called Behind the Counter, and on it we have an extra blog full of goodies just for our super fans. Also, join me on Clubhouse this year. I'm at Erin Albert there, as well as Instagram. Over at Twitter, I'm at Erin L. Albert. And of course, you all know I love LinkedIn. So let's connect and let's have a great 2021 together.